Yes. We're ready.
Oh, do you remember this tune? Judith, do you remember this? Do you remember when it was number one in the hit parade? The one we always ruin. Do you remember when we were on Top of the Pops dancing to this? Do you remember that?
I do, in our hot pants. Yeah, I know what you mean.
I've never been a hot pant. I never suited hot pants. Were you good in a hot pant, Judith? No, because of my terrible knees. Because my father's knees.
You're not a leg girl, are you? You're not.
I haven't got great legs. No.
I was.
Yeah, you're very. You've always had a good leg.
I think I had a pair. Of red corduroy hot pants.
Sexy.
No, I tell you what, they had a bib. They were hot pants, but with a bib
on. Yes, that's what hot pants were in our day.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, that's what constituted. Mine were pink denim with a sort of gingham or Madras check patch pocket on the bib and a bit of trim on the pockets. They were basically, my friend Jill Simpkin was too long for them because she was a long-legged girl. And of course, I was bulging out of them, my terrible knees. And that was, I think I was about 9 or 10. It was definitely primary school. So that would be 1970 if I was 10.
Gosh, and I would have been 15.
Yeah. And I was just this podgy little thing with awful knees.
Well, and except that's when you didn't have the boobs.
No, I didn't have the boobs.
See, I was a bit busty. I was a bit busty for a hot pant.
So your bib bulged.
Yeah, my bib bulged. Still does.
I was bulging around the arse. You were bulging around the boob. You can't get it right.
God.
You know. Where are you, Judith? Where are you? Because you're not in your dining room at home. I can tell.
I'm not. No. I'm not. I'm on duty.
There's no clock.
Morning.
Okay.
There's no clock.
My God.
I'm on duty. Okay. I'm on duty. So I've been given an hour off. And I'm in Twins Central. I'm in Twins Mission Control at the moment in the little room off the kitchen. And she's.
Oh, so Jane, you're in the study, basically. You're worn out, are you?
I'm in the snug. Oh, I'm a bit worn. Do you know what?
Do you want to cancel this podcast and just have an hour's kit, Judith? Because I think people will understand. You just want to have a bit of shut eye. Maybe you could do this lying down. If we hear snoring, I know I'll have bored you.
God.
Snorlaw, proper snorlaw.
Jenny. It's a bit
Of course it is. Walk me through. What time did you arrive this morning?
It was at 8 o'clock. So what happens is my line manager, bracket Sienna, she always WhatsApps me during the 3 o'clock or the 4 o'clock feed to tell me what time. To tell me what time I'm due for the feed.
No.
So when I wake up in the night, I always have a little look at my WhatsApp to think, it's 7 o'clock. She needs me at 7 o'clock or she needs me at 8 o'clock. Sometimes it's 9 o'clock. That's a lie-in. But this morning it was 8 o'clock.
Okay. How long does it take you to get there?
Well, 40 minutes, 45 minutes. It was a massive accident the other day, which meant that it took me ages. But, and I had to walk the dog a bit this morning because Mike was doing some marathons.
Poor Poppy. Everyone's going, poor Poppy. Oh, no. Does she whine these days? Because, Poppy was quite a cheerful dog these days. I bet she's changed. But
she's a bit pissed off. That sounded more like a donkey. You're normally very good at animals.
I know,
noise,
I didn't
get
that. I know, that was poor. That was poor.
It was a bit poor.
It slightly went into my peacock.
Oh yes, it did. Yeah, donkey / peacock.
Yeah.
She's always terribly sad. It's upsetting me a bit now to tell you, because when I come home, she's always on the arm of the settee that faces where I park the car.
Oh God, Judith, that's tragic.
She's always there waiting. It is a bit sad, isn't it?
Have her eyes changed? Has the light gone out of her eyes? Are they sort of?
Oh, stop it! It's not that bad. I always leave her with a massive, great, pig's ear or beef trotter or something.
Is Mike with you at Twin Central? Or is it just
you? Oh, no, we take it. No, we have different shifts. I have the morning shift, okay? Yeah. I have the early morning shift, which actually I ended quite early yesterday. I said to Sienna after the first heat, I think I might need to go today. She looked a bit pissed off. But I thought, no, sod it, I need to go.
I need to go because I'm on the verge of tears.
Oh yeah, I know. I just need to do something for myself.
Yeah.
And so he does the afternoon shift. So he does errands on the way in, and he does the afternoon shift. But the thing is, Jenny. Sorry, I'm going on a bit about this. Can you bear this?
Yes, I can.
The thing is, at the moment, I've only ever done kind of a feed with somebody else, right? But what they said to me the other day is, because I'm the senior help, I am the senior help.
Yeah. You're like matron.
Advanced, do you know what I mean? I am, I am kind of a lieutenant, proper lieutenant. As in, I can do Edward as well as Stanley, because Stanley's the trainee baby. Any new recruit gets Stanley. Stanley's really easy. Stanley basically feeds like mad, burps so loud you can hear him in the next room.
Does he fart as well? Have you heard them fart
yet? Oh, he farts. Oh, he had a projectile poo apparently last night. When I let myself in this morning, I went into the front room and thought, bloody hell, somebody's dropped some coffee all over the carpet.
There's an odd cut of cheese in the fridge. That's sometimes what it smells like, baby shit. It's quite sweet, isn't it? There's a real sort of aftertang.
Right. I know what you mean. A little bit gouda. Or that, there is a very, very particular smell. Yeah. Anyway, it's all over the carpet. Anyway, I'm getting off the point. So what I'm saying is that the new recruits get let loose on Stanley first, because he's very straightforward. Edward, however, is very difficult.
Is he fussier?
You have to wind him and walk him round. You think he's going down. He brings it all up. Blah, blah, blah. It takes ages.
Stanley's the smaller one, isn't he?
Well, he was, but he's caught up because, he's obviously gulping it down.
He's a really greedy lad.
Oh, yeah, he's a greedy lad. He knows how to get it down him. It's sort of really, down it.
So are they having a mixture of bottle and breast at the moment?
Yes, they are. So she's expressing, and I don't think they're having much formula, actually. It's mostly breast. And I think Stanley, of course, you see Stanley latches on beautifully. Edward, not so sure. And she's sent off for these great big sort of plastic nipple shield things that they kind of, which helps them latch onto it. And they just,
I think I tried it. Those ones, really hard
Mexican
work.
Hats. Yes. Oh, awful. And
they fall off your nipples anyway. Oh, they fall off your nipples. Them on. What are you meant to do? It's ridiculous. Whole thing is a nightmare.
Oh, it isn't. Honestly, it's not easy. But anyway, my task, just briefly, because we go on and on about the twins, because I'm sure some people in the gang will be thinking, let's get on to something else. Quite rightly. So after this... after we've done this and the next feed, I am being challenged for a double solo feed. Fucking hell, that's going to be difficult, Jenny.
Well, what does that entail? Does it mean sort of one on under each arm with a box? I don't know how you do it.
No, you have to do one at a time. So what you'd apparently do is you wake up Stanley if he's not already awake. You do Stanley first, right? Because he's straightforward. That'll take about
nursery slope,
half an hour, 40 minutes. Meanwhile, of course, Edward will be start kicking off, won't he? He'll be starting to get a bit restless. So then you put Stanley down and hope that he's all right. And then you start on Edward, which is probably going to take me about 45 minutes to an hour. And then you get that one down. But what I don't know, I seriously do not know what I'm going to do if they both kick off at once. I don't know. I'm sending her out.
No baby I ever died of crying.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, they can exhaust themselves crying and hopefully fall asleep. Slightly miserable and hungry. Oh, I don't know, Judith. It does sound very, very much like hard work, but there we go. You're coping brilliantly. I'm sure you are.
I'm coping okay.
And how's the batch cooking doing? Or are you giving up on that? Are they just eating beans on toast now? Has it gone downhill?
Well into the history.
Throwing bits of toast at everybody now. Yeah.
Well, no, because what I'm trying to do is palm it off on everybody.
There's only so many times a week you can have chicken risotto.
Can I just say that? I know what you mean.
It's nice once, and then, second time in a week, you go, I don't know if I can cope with this.
Exactly.
There's no way you can do it three times a week. No way.
I know. Anyway, we're bearing up.
I'm so pleased. It sounds great.
Yeah. Well, you've got some of this to come, haven't you? But not in double
half, hopefully. Yes. And I think I'm allowed to say that it is going to be a boy joining the gang. So there we go.
Yeah.
So I'm absolutely delighted about that. And I really am because it's a sort of fresh canvas. I've not had a play with a boy, really. So that's going to be great.
Exactly.
So I'm really looking forward to it, actually. I'm really looking forward to making sure it doesn't like trains or football. Just wean it, on sort of whatever. Probably won't be allowed anywhere near it. We'll see what happens.
So
I'm back, Jenny, in the bosom of the family.
You're back at home.
Yeah, it does feel good.
So, I bet it does. But bloody hell, Jen,
I've got stairs in my house. I haven't done stairs for 2.5 weeks.
Because you've been in a lift on the top, on the 20th floor.
I didn't even find any stairs. I mean, not that I really wanted to do 20 floors, but there comes a point in your life where you just think, oh, God, stairs. I need to do some stairs. Because I'd sort of go down the lift, get in the car, go to the studio. Yeah. No stairs in the studio. I mean, you know, when I got home, I thought, oh, how do I tackle those? and you know, and I'm really thrilled to be home. But you do have to do everything, don't you?
I know what you mean. Yes,
I was quite spoiled in some respects because you live in a hotel. You don't. You know, you don't have to sort of wash or dry. Well, everything went to the laundry if I needed something doing, because, you know, I didn't have a twin tub or anything in my bedroom at the
Hilton. Of course you didn't.
I have to say that the Hilton is being refurbished later this year, and God knows it needs it. I don't want to put anybody off, because the staff are really nice. Yes, it is that one.
It's the one right in the middle next to the town hall.
Deansgate.
Yes, I know what you mean.
It's the one that has the big sort of lump at the top. It kind of goes out because footballers have their apartments in the top.
Oh, that one.
That one. It's that one that's got sort of a cocktail bar at the top called Clouds or something like that. But it's got plastic palm trees. Yes. I went in, I said I got the same view, and I haven't got plastic palm trees in my bedroom. So, you know. See ya. They really didn't want me in there because I obviously looked terrible, and it was all full of, you know, the Manchester glam.
Don't be ridiculous.
I just finished work, and I still wear a mask in places, and I didn't look like much fun. And they said, "Have you booked a table?" I said, "No, I'm a resident, and I just want to have a little mooch about." And I mooched in and I mooched back out, and I thought, I didn't really do much mixing, Judith. I really didn't.
Jenny, I'm not surprised you even attempted any of it. I mean, how many programmes were you? How many shows?
20
were
programmes.
A day?
We recorded two a day, and it was absolutely fine. I mean, you know, I have to say the contestants were 100% magnificent. They were really good and really good fun. Because I went swimming, you'll be pleased to hear, Judith. I'm going swimming again this afternoon. I'm really trying to do something about sciatica, but might be something called tendinopathy. But who gives a shit? It just means that, you know, I've got my legs sometimes feel like somebody's reached inside and is giving my ankles a Chinese burn. So that's very, very boring. So anyway, I'm on a new
But you can
regime.
Concentrate yourself now, can't you? You've done the
show. Yeah, I've got this big telly thing next week that I can't tell you about. And then I've got 4 gigs.
Bloody hell, Jenny.
I know, it's really, really quite bad till about the middle of April. And then, you know, there's a tendency where I just want to lie in bed and cry for a week, but I can't afford to. I've got to march around and sort of get myself fit. And listen to this.
A gap now.
Listen to this. Might be getting Botox tomorrow in my jaw.
What?
Yeah. Medical reasons. God, such a great excuse. It might give me a better, tighter jawline as well. You're going to be so jealous.
Well, slow down.
I know. I ended
Botox
up back
in
at the dentist.
Jaw?
Yeah, because of my clenching is so bad.
Oh, the clenching. Oh, yeah, I forgot about the clenching. You see, we have so many illnesses.
So many things.
I'm
a bit like the Manchester Hilton falling to pieces. It's
there's quite a lot, isn't there? In a holding pattern, kind of at the...
At the Hilton, when I was swimming, and I got those goggles with my prescription in, which are much cheaper than you'd think. You can get them £15 on the internet. You just fill in the thing and say what your prescription is, and you get them by return of post, £15. Anyway, and I could see where the missing tiles were and all that sort of thing. And the spinny thing for your costume didn't work. Hard work.
It's not a good sign, is it?
No.
That's not a good sign. That horrible smell? That horrible stale...
Musty. And that was in my shower as well, because I had a shower cubicle in my room that I never used. And of course, there was trapped air built up.
What, you're trapped air?
Well,
trapped
I don't have anything. I don't have trapped air, Judith, because, you know, as soon as any air gets trapped...
Let it out.
I mean, there are sort of perks to living by yourself. I mean, you know, I am quite feral when I'm by myself. And I must admit, I did a lot of teeth flossing, because when you're by yourself watching television, it's all right to sit there with one of those teepees in your gob, isn't it? Sort of having a poke. I mean, you can't do that at home, really. It's just not done. So I think that I have flossed. I think I've flossed a lot. That's been my main hobby. I've done some swimming and some flossing. And then I discovered I could get Netflix on my iPad, and my whole life changed.
Oh, What do you mean? What do you have to do a separate account, or does it just
No. It just came our account. I just put in
it
the.
Knows. Does it know?
It knows.
Does
it just knew. And then all of a sudden I could work, because otherwise I was trying to watch normal terrestrial television, which is shit. May I just say?
Well, yes.
There's nothing on, is there?
Except Wednesdays and Thursdays. I must say, Wednesdays is quite good because you've got design thingy bob.
Yes.
Master What's It's with Alan Carr.
With Alan Carr. And Thursday is Apprentice.
So Thursday's and Dragon's Den and Stephen.
That you fancy.
Terrible crush on.
Yes.
And then The Apprentice. Oh, and do you know what tonight? Because this is Thursday today, isn't it? Tonight's the interview, which is the really.
Yeah. Sometimes I like that. Sometimes I don't. I mean, there were some terrible people, weren't there? Some terrible people.
See ya. But so you got Netflix
on my iPad.
Good. What are you watching on Netflix? I know it's not.
We finished. It's not Culture Corner yet, but we have finished Inventing Anna, which I did enjoy, the Anna Delvey story, I enjoyed that on the podcast. There's a good podcast that's on the BBC Sounds. We will cover this again in Culture Corner. Birthday yesterday.
Thank you for your card. Daisy sent me some flowers.
Oh God,
I know. I am sorry about that.
Don't be silly. Don't be ridiculous. No, you mustn't. You really mustn't.
No, listen. Don't start changing the subject to your birthday yet. We haven't heard about your Botox jaw.
Oh God, Botox jaw.
Tell me the rest of that. I'm intrigued.
Okay.
I'm intrigued.
Yesterday, 4 o'clock in the morning on my birthday, I woke up, turning 62, with the most agonising pain in my jaw, and I realised I'd forgotten to put my guard in the night before. So I quickly shoved that in and did a heavy massage. But the pain was so, so intense that I was sort of clutching my bedside table.
Gosh, that means that you really, really obviously have got a problem with that jaw.
A real problem. Yeah. And also I've got some sensitivity around my back teeth because he did a cold test on me where he sort of had this thing on tweezers and touched a back tooth. And I came off the chair and almost hit the ceiling.
Jenny.
Absolutely. Oh, and I've had when I was in Manchester and I got a cold, like last week I was really dismal because I got that cold at June's. I was so panic stricken.
I know.
Because I could feel it coming on me.
You know, when you can
just feel yourself crashing. And I thought, I can't believe it. I've got like a day to get better because I start filming again.
Yeah, I know. And it was a big old mountain you had to climb. I could really feel it in your voice.
There was one day when it was hard. It was really hard. And I was just dosing myself up. Anyway, I went for a vitamin jab, Judith.
A vitamin jab?
Yeah.
God, never heard of those.
It. Oh, yeah.
They
do them in theatres sometimes, in West End theatres, when actors are flagging.
And they get
a dodgy doctor in. Traditionally, it's always been in your arse. So I'm in this cubicle, my pants down, my trousers down. And they come in and say, actually, just pull your trousers up and roll your sleeve up, please. Trousers back on, sleeve up, if you wouldn't mind. It's in the arm. And it for about 24 hours, I felt magnificent. And then it sort of wore off. I think it moved in daily. It was about 35 quid in Manchester.
Wow.
At this little place called Reviv. Near the Royal Exchange. It was very smart. It was very, and they were very kind to me. You know when people are so kind, you feel like crying.
Yes.
And
you
sort of, it's like a clinic, a really sort of posh clinic. And you just feel, I feel like, oh, I'd like to live here and I'd like you people to look after me.
Well, they've got that branding right, haven't they? They've definitely got that ambiance right.
Yeah.
But vitamin shots. Why isn't there like a... a sort of a place where you just go in and you don't have to go through all palaver of booking it or something. Why didn't they make it easier to do that?
It was very easy for me to do this. I have to say it was piss easy.
I've not heard of that. Blimey.
Well, do you look it up and there'll be somewhere near you, I bet you. And Judith, you must be exhausted. It's time. I think so. If you're going to do twin duty, I think you need a massive vitamin.
I think what I need is that either that or a sort of oxygen shot.
Oh, the oxygen,
I don't know why they don't do that sort of like those...
An hour on oxygen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm rambling a bit, but I just have to tell you before I forget. She said you must come back next time and have it intravenously. I thought,
a step up, a grade up, a bit more expensive.
Lie on a white.
Are you sure she's not a drug dealer?
Smack straight into my veins. Who knows? I went to the dentist yesterday, and with these two problems, and
he said, I think we've reached a stage where we might be having to think of Botox now. And he said, I know you won't like that.
Did you think he was talking about your wrinkles? Did you think, no, you haven't got any wrinkles, have you?
I'm not too bad. I'm not too bad because I don't go in the sun. I mean, for a woman that smoked as much as I did, but I've sort of, you know, there's a yin and yang. I don't go in the sun, so I haven't got sun wrinkles. But no, I'm not too bad.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, go on. So he said you've got to have some Botox
into your mandible.
I don't know what I might have made that up.
So that's exciting.
Blimey.
It's just whether his partner...
Will that hurt, do you think?
No, I don't think so. He said it didn't. He said he suffered a lot. But the trouble is, once you start having it done, you have to have top-ups every 6 months. Yeah. And it's his partner, his fiancé that does it. So it's just depends whether she can come into the surgery tomorrow and do it. But I'm quite excited by that.
Exciting.
It's £200.
Yeah, but I know what you mean.
I think it's £400.
Get her to do a bit more around...
Yeah, I might just
do a bit more around the jawline.
If there's a bit left in the syringe, just say, listen, I've got... Anyway, there we go.
It's all happening with Eclair. Anyway, so how was your birthday?
It was nice. The weather, you know, it came back on Tuesday and the weather was so glorious and went for a nice walk in Peckham Rye and all that. And I thought, oh, it'll just be nice just to sort of stroll around on my birthday, you know, wherever we go, just nice, fresh spring, you know. I know it was pissing down rain, that weird red dust from wherever it came from that just looks like somebody had been doing a massive chalk pastel drawing all over London. It's still all over our windows and decking and everything. I went to see the Louise Bourgeois at the Haywood.
Was she one of the first surrealists?
No.
Who was she?
That's Leonora Carrington, you're thinking. Louise Bourgeois, her most famous piece was in Tate Modern some years ago, and it's The Massive Spider. She basically did all the work that women needed to do in the 70s and 80s so that Tracy Emin could come along and continue that type of thing. So it's very female, it's very womby, it's very periody, it's very sort of, it's incredibly female. I mean, I think sort of once you've seen her enormous spider, there was nowhere else she could go after that. She lived a long time. She was elderly when she died. I think she died about 10 years ago. I hope I'm right in all this. It was a retrospective and I enjoyed it, but there were no surprises. It was all sort of quite familiar, but I'm really glad I went. So yeah, that was that. And then I made a mistake for my birthday lunch. Why do I always do this? I got a bit of menu masochism I just went to Pan à Quotidien, you know, the South Bank. Bad lunch.
Go on, what did you pick?
I went vegan.
You went vegan? Jenny, when earth did you do that?
Menu masochism just happens now and again, doesn't it? And
you
just
go, so what did you get?
I could have this, which I really like. Or maybe because, you know, we should eat less meat and we should be vegan at least 3 or 4 times a week. I'm going to go vegan now. Oh, dear.
Oh, God. What do they
give it was
you?
A pea and feta. It was a pea and mint puree. Like, it's pea and mint hummus. Well, it wasn't hummus because hummus is fucking chickpeas. So don't muck about with it. I don't see why chickpeas aren't vegetarian or vegan. But anyway,
it was
a type of hummus, but it was made of pea and
mint.
It was bitter, Judith.
Maybe there was something they couldn't put in it that they normally put in it. There must be.
I don't know. But anyway, the whole thing was a bit disappointing. And but fortunately, Jeff made a lovely meal last night and Tristan and Phoebe came over.
Oh, lovely.
And I managed to, because Phoebe mustn't sort of strain herself at the moment, so I went to pick her up and I took my sister so my sister could have a bit of a snoop at the house.
Sorry, I didn't send you a present. I normally send
you a present. Oh, Judith, no, you mustn't. Daisy
but I did like the card. Did the card?
Yeah, he did the card. It did make me laugh because it just said on the front, you made me laugh once. I thought, cheeky cow.
And did you get some nice presents?
I got some nice presents. I got a new Mulberry handbag from Jeff, which is just, ridiculous. And I got a necklace from Phoebe and I got soaps and I got, you know. And my sister had this sort of lovely big bowl of hyacinths planted out for me at the local Nunhead Gardener place. Massive stone round dish of, just lovely. I've got to put that outside. I did very well. I mean, I'm always a bit melancholy on my birthday because... I miss my mother very badly on my birthday because obviously she sort of lost it. I saw June up north when I was living in Manchester. And, you know, she's unaware that it's my birthday, and it sort of just, it makes me sad.
Oh, yes, I suppose, yes, I know what you mean. It underlines the change, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That you don't, that you don't.
And I don't get a present, and I don't get a card.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean.
And yet her 96-year-old sister, who's blind, you know, because I obviously visit her when I'm up north as well, she had a birthday card ready and waiting for me.
Wow, did you? Well, she's doing it on June's behalf, isn't she, really?
Yeah, Eileen is extraordinary, you know. Yeah. She's the one, cauliflower cheese Eileen, yes. And she had the birthday card.
Well, she's, yeah.
And she'd remembered inside.
Well, I'm glad you got to see her.
She'd written, I hope you have a nice time in Stockholm next month. I mean, it's just...
She remembered that as well. Yeah, bloody hell, she's on it, isn't she? She's really
totally
on it.
Totally. And you just think, why did the younger sister get the dementia? Why did June go and Eileen didn't? Yeah. It seems genetically unfair.
It does.
Nothing you can do about it. Now then, I think, Judith, it's time we went to Culture Corner.
It is. Right, OK. So I know you've been terribly, terribly busy, but what have you been watching?
Oh, I'll tell you what we started watching, and it's sort of leaving me a little bit confused as to whether I rate it or not. And I think you felt similarly. And it's The Lost Daughter. Which is the ponderous kind of
Olivia Colman on that gorgeous Greek island.
Yeah.
So and have you finished it?
No, we're halfway through. We just started yesterday afternoon before we had Phoebe and Tristram over. And,
nice.
I just sort of, there was a bit of it where I just thought, I don't believe this conversation. I don't believe this dialogue. It's ridiculous dialogue.
I know.
She starts talking about her daughter's breasts to the bloke that used to be into normal people. And I just thought nobody does this. This is bizarre. And she is behaving quite peculiarly. I've got to that point
she
where
is.
she's taken the child's doll.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of loaded. It's powerful, isn't it? And loaded. And Olivia Colman's brilliant at it, as is Jessie.
I've
forgotten her surname. Yeah. Oh, wonderful in it. Wonderful, wonderful. But I don't think I ever sort of really got where it was going or didn't really buy into
it. It feels like, it was based on a book by Elena Ferrante.
Yeah,
it feels like a translation, and there's something lost in the translation for me.
Nicely put.
But
Jenny.
I haven't watched it all, so next week
I shall continue
my verdict.
With it.
Oh, we will.
Yeah. It does resolve itself, and it is definitely worth finishing, but I'm not sure whether I got it, really.
Okay.
What about Peaky Blinders? Are you still watching?
Still struggling a little bit with that, with the politics. And yes, I'm being a bit thick. I think that by the time I was watching that in Manchester, because I worked on Sundays, and I get in at sort of 7:30, and then I was just knackered, to be honest, Judith.
It's quite taxing.
I kept thinking to sit up straight and concentrate. But I agree with you that Diana Mitford is brilliant, the woman
she's
playing Diana
wonderful.
Mitford.
Wonderful. Yeah. And the women in it. I mean, Ada takes over. I don't know whether you've got that far, but because little Ruby gets ill, so Ada takes over for a bit and she kicks some arse. Oh, my God.
But I still think they are missing the little heart of it, which I think was Helen McCrory.
I know. Yeah, it does leave a big hole, without a doubt.
Yeah.
But
are we waiting for Tommy to meet Gina Grey again and something kick off between those two?
Oh, interesting idea. That would be good.
But it is beautifully done, as ever.
It's wonderful.
A feast for the eyes.
Yeah, it is.
So... what else are you watching on the television?
Well, two other things. One thing which you might like is, it's called Couples in Therapy. It's on BBC iPlayer and it's American. It's basically real life couples in, you know, marriage therapy. God knows why you would sort of sign up to actually be filmed doing it, but plenty of people have. And it's it's extraordinary. So you it's cut together. They're not in real time, obviously, because that would be quite dull. So it's cut together the sort of juicy bits of their therapy sessions. But then you see the therapist go to her supervision session, which is another sort of layer of reveal. So it's about like, this is happening with these two, and I'm not quite sure what I should do with that, or, you know, why do I feel about that when they talk about this? So it's I mean, some of the couples...
Does the therapist ever say, God, these two are fucking tedious?
No, of course not. No. But I mean, but
see, that's why I could never have a proper job because, at the end of the day, a lot of people are fucking tedious, aren't they?
Well, tedious, or you wouldn't like them. I mean, that's the. I mean, the bits of therapy that I've done, that is the problem. Is that some people,
you disliking
don't like
your
as
therapist?
Much.
Oh yes. Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Or the therapist doesn't like you.
Oh, yeah, and that's obvious. That's always very obvious. Yes, yes. Oh, absolutely. And I went to one, and I just thought, I can't give this woman my emotional baggage when she can't even dress herself. She had blue tights and brown shoes on. I thought, no, it's a no.
Yes.
Anyway, there we go.
She can't be trusted with it.
No, she can't be trusted with me. She can't do that. Yeah.
It's rather good if you like that sort of thing, and it's good.
And you do. You do more than me.
I'm not. And lots of women do. And
you've got more patience with that.
And some people you just think, well, for goodness sake, you're just wasting your time, wasting your money. I mean, just go your separate ways. It's just so
absolutely
awful. But so there's that. And then there's The Holiday on Channel 5, which we've nearly finished. It's a bit cheap and cheerful. I mean, you know, one of those dramas where they've obviously hired a villa. Most of it takes place in this villa and the surrounding areas, which is already kind of Channel 5 small budget, isn't it? But like the villa they've chosen, it's sort of the pool is minuscule. There's about six families there with all these kind of plot lines. And honestly, the pool is like the size of a large bath. You think, well, for goodness sake, you might have stretched to a decent villa. It's a proper drama. It's kind of, we'll stick with it because it's kind of intriguing to know kind of how it ends, I think.
I watched an episode of something, Judith, which I think you might like. It's only 15 minutes, which is sort of might be useful between feeds. And it's something called Cheaters. I'm not sure what side it's on. I just thought it was clever and funny and sort of rather disarming, and I will watch some more of it.
So what
there
is
you
it?
Go. That's my... Well, it's this bloke goes on a single holiday by himself to Finland because his girlfriend's been unfaithful with a woman.
Is this a real thing or a drama?
No, it's a drama. It's a comedy drama.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But
it's
in sort of 20-minute bite-sized pieces. And so he goes to Finland, his flight is delayed, and he meets a really sort of sexy, attractive girl in a bar. They have a sort of bad start to, they have a sort of tetchy start, and then they end up sort of having an apology drink and it gets out of hand and they end up in bed. And, you know, obviously they're never going to see each other again. I come back to London and find that they are neighbours next, more or less they live opposite each other. So it's that. It's kind of, you know, the bones of it sort of are kind of, in some respects, quite Shakespearean, you know, it's that sort of comedy of errors sort of thing. But
yes.
It was something, there's something neat about it and something rather fresh, and I think that I will watch some more of it.
Oh, I'll give that a go.
And you like the sex in it because you like watching sex. And there was some quite good up against the wall sex that I think you will enjoy.
There?
Yeah.
Never been able to do that. Never been able to do that.
No, I know, it's impossible. Really? You know that sometimes when you see sex on television and the man sort of hoists the girl up so she's straddling him around the waist. Can you imagine that being
ridiculous. Even when I was in my hot pants, that would have been tricky.
Even when I was anorexic, that never happened. So anyway, we're on books, Judith.
Yes. I've been reading again, Rachel, the new Marianne Keyes, which I guess you are. Are you into that
yet? Not yet, because I never read the original one, so I think I need to put time aside to get both under my belt. And I bet you're enjoying it, though, aren't you?
Oh, yes. I mean, of course. God, her dialogue is good, isn't it?
She's just good. She's lovely.
Dialogue.
Yeah, she's really good. She nails relationships so well.
Oh, she does. She does. And also, you know, sort of the nuts and bolts of addiction, clearly as an ex-addict, and a lot of it is about that. But it sort of describes that compulsion to do something that you're addicted to, whether it's eat some chocolate or whatever. She's really
good. Yes, her last book was really good on that.
Bloody inside.
Yes. So we're big fans of the Keys. You finished the Bob Mortimer biog?
I did, which I loved, although the chapters on Reeves and Mortimer, I must admit, were not so easy for me because I never really sort of found that terribly funny, and it, I always found it a little bit male. But I loved that book by Bob Mortimer, and I, you know, his relationship with his mum particularly, and her orange house. I don't know whether you remember that.
Yes.
She was very into the colour orange. But the final chapter, the final chapter, sort of almost amongst the acknowledgements, he writes sort of in praise of his mother, with thanks to his mother, and he says, right, I'm just going to read out all the things that my mother taught me. She taught me so many things. And he just goes through them, and they are literally, they're very, very specific. They're things like, you know, exterior woodwork needs constant attention, you know, how to wash your delicates, meat that's near the bone is the sweetest. Just really random, quite a lot of these things that he learned from his mum. And I just thought that was so touching. And
it's a book of enormous charm, isn't it? I mean, he comes across...
Oh, charm is the word,
I listened to it on audio, and it's just so... His voice is great in it as well. It's just done in a very casual kind of sitting on the end of your bed, chatting to you style. It's great.
Yes,
I am
yes,
on.
Yes.
I'm into one of the Women's Prize for Fiction titles. I've got The Exhibitionist by Charlotte Mendelssohn on the go. I'm really enjoying it. And it's what's interesting about the Women's Prize for Fiction, the long list has just come out, and it's very obvious that the family saga is back in mode. I think it's been out of fashion for a while because everybody sort of got a bit up their own arse and they wanted broken literature. And then somebody's obviously turned around and said, oh, can we have a thumping great story? Because there are three family sagas on the list two of which we've previously discussed on this podcast, Sorrow and Bliss, which you've also read.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And The Great Circle, which myself and Daisy have read. And those are also long listed. Three very worthy books right there to get your teeth into. If you're looking for a good family saga, there are three on the long list of the Women's Prize. I should imagine next year Marianne's latest will be on that long list as well.
Yeah.
But it came out too soon, too recently.
So which is the one that you're reading?
I'm reading The Exhibitionist by Charlotte Mendelssohn. And it's a great book. It's a look at a toxic family with a wonderfully written, utter spoilt pig of a husband at the centre. He's an artist and he thinks he's great. His wife is an artist and he's completely overshadowed her and kind of suffocated her and not let her do anything. And she has this opportunity. It's whether she takes this opportunity or not. It's just family dynamics. It's
contemporary.
You know,
it's
about 10 years ago. Set about 10 years ago, so pre-pandemic. Okay. That's another interesting thing, is that none of the books, as far as I know, on the... I can't say this, but I have not yet read any really good fiction that is set in the pandemic.
No, I think I'm looking forward to doing that too. It's when they come out, I'll be fascinated to see how they treat it.
I think we need some distance from it so you can look back and go, you know,
perhaps we do. Yeah, perhaps we do.
I don't know. I mean, it's just not over. COVID's not over, is it? I mean, you know, beautiful Frances, who's meant to be filming at the moment, she's holed up in a hotel in Hereford and really not very well.
Oh, is she?
So send her our love. And we got a contestant in when I was doing the draws off, the drawing programme.
Yeah.
An older woman in her late 60s. We had two shows to go. And she'd suddenly tested positive. So we had to keep going. We had to test everybody and then keep going with four contestants. So Muggins here had to step in.
Oh, what a drag.
Two of the shows. I have humiliated myself so badly with drawing, live drawing, Judith. To a point where even you will have to lie to me and say, no, it wasn't that bad, Jenny. It wasn't that bad. There was a sort of childlike charm.
Oh, it's difficult though, isn't it? I mean, you know.
Oh, I panicked.
Drawing is really... Did you?
In the worst possible way. And then, you know... Yeah, I got very little thanks for what I did, I have to say. One of them was all right, but the other one was one of the worst things I have ever seen myself do, Because you know me, I have no skills. I can only copy. I can copy other people's work quite successfully in a sketch pad. And I did a lot of that.
I think a lot of us are like that. Yeah, I think a lot of us.
But left to my own devices and painting real people who stand in front of you. I mean, oh, God.
Was it the feet or the hands? What did you get wrong?
I did a good cock on the on one man, I have to say. I did very good, Willie, who's a man of a certain age, and there was a substance involved. Not a substance, there was a substantial arrangement between his legs, and I found that quite easy. But I really, really let myself down. It's one of those things where you will probably have to send me a text saying, no, it's all right, it's fine.
Yes, you know me very well.
Yeah.
You know me very well. I look forward to seeing that.
A couple of emails.
So somebody called Yvonne, age 54 and 5'6". That's very accurate.
Oh.
Now, she says that we should be... She says, ladies, next time you venture into M&S for cheesy coleslaw, pick up a pack of cheese, hot cross buns, delicious toasted with very cold butter and probably good with coleslaw too. Now, it's a bit, you know, it's rather off-piste. But do you know,
cheesy hot cross buns. You see, for me, the hot cross bun is all about the smell, the cinnamon and fruity smell. So yeah. I'm not sure whether a cheesy hot cross bun is going to do it for me.
I'm not convinced either. I'm looking forward to the excuse.
Yeah.
I shall rise to the challenge because I'm greedy.
And we've got another email from Jane, 57 and 4 days from Dunedin in New Zealand. She said if we ever go, she'll fetch us from the airport. She doesn't say what will happen to us after that.
She
might just drive us straight off a cliff. But
it's a nice thought. It's a nice thought.
Yeah, it's nice. Our gang of being able to travel. There's one last email from Rebecca Judith. Have you seen that one?
Oh, it's wonderful. With a picture of the two mugs.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, oh, wonderful. So Rebecca's 57 and a half. She sent a photo of two older and wider mugs, still available, by the way.
So available.
One is hers and one is it belongs to her mate who lives in Berlin. And so it was a sort of reunion of these two Meg.
A unification of the mugs, and they were sort of, you know... They both sort of had a drink within their mugs and together. And that's very touching.
Very,
very, very sweet indeed. So thank you very much indeed. Thank you all for all your emails. And, you know, lots of people emailed to tell me how to look after myself better. lots of suggestions of an echinacea. And I have started doing your disgusting fizzy orange tablet drink every morning.
Thank God. Right. Well, not before time. Anyway, we shall look forward to hearing about your Botoxed jaw.
That's if it happens. It's only if she's available tomorrow.
Are you going swimming this afternoon?
Go swimming this afternoon.
That's good. Yeah.
Are you managing to do anything for yourself, Judith, or is it just a bit?
Yes, I am, because I get the afternoons off. So I usually go on my bike in the afternoon, and on the later shifts, I try and do a few exercises or take the dog walk. Oh, I'm knackered, Julie.
I'm not surprised.
Explaining it to you, knackered.
I know. You don't ever have to come back to do nights, do you?
No, I'm not doing that. No, I draw the line with that. But I am a bit knackered. I think when I get the weekend, I think we get the weekends off. We haven't really...
You don't know. You haven't had your schedule.
I think we can have a diary session, as she put it, after the double feed.
Anyway, is she happy, though? She seems really happy.
She's really coping with it. Oh, she's amazing. She really, really is. And, she's doing really well. She's doing really, really well. I'm very, 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 very proud of her. And it's lovely to be able to take her a few nice, healthy little treats, because she's still my babe. She's my baba.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't really change, does it?
It doesn't change. It doesn't actually change. No, it doesn't. But
I mean, there might be two new puppies, but she's the original. She's your original puppy.
She is. So wish me luck with the solo feed. Good luck with that.
Thank you. Yeah. I hope these boys absolutely start piling on the weight and, you know, all the stuff they're meant to do.
I'm sure they will.
Hokey dokey.
Okay. All right. Well, have a good day and lots of love, Daisy. Thank you very much as ever. And
Thank you very much. Thank you, Daisy. Thanks to Judith. Thanks to everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's enough. Thank you.
Now, very professional.
Starting to be a bit grumpy, you know, a bit. I will love you and leave you. And tons of love.
See you soon. Yeah. Bye, Jenny. Bye, Daisy.
Bye-bye.
Bye, gang.